when I was first starting social media, I would spend probably at least an hour. So it's like filming.
It's a commitment.
Editing. And then writing a long-ass caption, because I write pretty long captions.
It's a commitment.
Sometimes it took 2 hours. And it, I had a full-time job. I was at a clinic when I, you know, or in PT school when I was doing Instagram and social media. So, you know, it's committing to something because you know you're providing value.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not doing it to try to sell you to anything. I'm not doing it because I need you to buy my program. I'm doing it because I authentically want to provide value.
So that's Doc Jen Fit, my special guest for today's episode, talking about how she's built what I think we should all consider a true social media empire. She's got 464,000 followers. And today's episode is about social media, but it's also about her, the human behind the numbers, the human on the other side of that phone. So yes, this is part two of my social media series, and we are going to talk about the more nuanced things like when to post, how often to post, should you use hashtags, collaborating with other creators, how to format your posts, all those more logistical things that you should be thinking about if you're trying to grow a social media presence or audience. But you're also going to get to know Jen, and you're going to get to see why I consider her hands down one of the hardest working humans that I have ever met. Because when it comes to social media and most things in life, there are no shortcuts. And it's all about connection. So stick around to the end of the episode because we got a fun little challenge coming for you. But first, DJ, gimme that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming to you live with yet another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I am sitting in the studio of greatness with the Doc Jen Fit. She got me to drive all the way out to WeHo. It took me 7 hours, but it was well worth it. We're doing it a little bit different because you know this chick is all about social media. So not only are we doing a podcast, but we are doing an Instagram Live. So if at any point in time during this episode you start hearing some questions, some off-topic stuff, that's why. We're trying to hit all the avenues, as many avenues, because we're trying to take over the world. So right now we are starting that Instagram Live. It's a little bit different than when I do it because people don't join right away, so you have time to like intro the show and things like that. But Jen already has 75,000 people watching, and she can't pin my name.
Ah, I got it. I got it.
Took me 20 minutes to pin the name last time, and I had 3 people watching the video. So back to the show here. Typically, you know, you could look at most podcasts, the speaker may, or the host may introduce that person and like read off some paper and Jen went to school here, but I don't do it that way. It's much easier if I let the person who's on say what they want. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Doc Jen Fit, AKA Jen Esker, but we know her as Doc Jen Fit. Thanks for coming on the show, Jen.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you driving all the way out here.
7 hours. You guys listening out
not
there?
Not quite 7 hours.
It took me 7 hours to get here.
Did not
I left
take
last
seven
night.
Hours.
I live 20 miles away. It took me.
No, when I saw you, I left the night before. This is true.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, Jen, I want to start off for the 3 people out there who don't know you. Can you tell them a little bit about yourself? You know, you're a PT. Where are you from? Actually, let's start off with your last name. How do you say it, and where is it from?
Last name is Esker, or Esker, if you want to get real fancy.
Tongue mobility. That's the third section of her mobility method, how to say last name.
Exactly. It's a Basque origin, which is a portion in Spain. When I went to Spain, I actually did not go to the Basque region. But, Everyone I know, though, comes from Mexico. As yeah. far back as I know.
Okay. I was going to guess, but then I was like, I don't really.
And East LA, so. Like,
That's right. So you from California?
I am from California.
Born and raised. Where?
Inland Empire, so the 909, which is like the ghetto, according to the show The O.C., if anyone remembers watching The O.C. I'm blanking on his name. Ryan, the guy in The O.C., he turned the 909 as the ghetto. Okay. So apparently I grew up in the ghetto, which is the Inland Empire, Chino Hills, represent.
I had to register my Jeep again, and they send you the little stickers that go mm-hmm. on the license plate, which is very interesting. It took me 25 years to get it off, and then everyone was like, you just stick it over the top. And I was like, well, the instruction said to take it off. It took me a long time. But did you have to slice? It's a thing. You just slice the
thing? Yeah,
you have
to slice it.
That's like, so for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, there's like a registration tag that goes on your license plate, and you're supposed to take a razor blade and slice it so that people won't steal the tag. And I was like, how the hell can they steal it? It took me 25 minutes to get it off, and it came off in little shreds. But so maybe it was the ghetto, Jen. You had to slice your... No, I'm just kidding. So what was your background? You started... You're a gymnast. What did you do?
I tried every sport growing up. I did soccer, and that was awful. I was like 5 and sat on the sidelines and cried every single game because I didn't want to play with the boys. It was a co-ed, like, at 5 years old, so I hated that. Tried dance. The girls were mean, so wasn't feeling that one. And then I tried softball, and I sucked.
If you don't follow Jen, follow her, at DocJenFit. She puts up stories sometimes, and it's out of her comfort zone. One of those stories, it was a reaction drill. She had to face away from the ball, and then someone bounced the ball, and she had to turn around and catch it. I can't even describe it. I wish I could link a video in this podcast. But yeah, so softball didn't work out. I see why.
That's why. Clearly not good with things flying at my face. Yeah, so softball did not work out. And then I tried gymnastics, and I found love and loved it immediately. I started at YMCA, and obviously they didn't have like a competitive program. So I moved on to a competitive program and stuck with that for 9 years.
Dang.
And that was my life.
So did you do it in college?
I didn't. I quit at 16, so right before junior year in high school. And then growing up, I had to be in a sport.
Okay.
For
your parents?
My parents. Grade school through high school, we had to be in a sport. So once I quit, they were like, cool, now what are you going to do? Yeah. So I did.
And why'd you quit?
You know, I came to a point where I felt like I was doing it more because my mom wanted me to get a scholarship and my coaches wanted me to stay in it. And I didn't feel like I was doing it for myself anymore.
Got it.
So really, it was a hard decision. When I made the decision, I actually wrote a letter to my mom. Wow. Because I was like, I don't know if I could talk to you about this in person. So let me get it all out right here so that you can understand where this is coming from. She, of course, then went back to my coaches so that they could convince me to stay in.
Of course.
But it really just, I didn't feel called to it anymore. It came to my place where I was like happy with where I was at. I didn't want to do it in college. And so I came to a point where I was just like ready to, quote unquote, as gymnasts call it, retire. It's not quitting, it's retiring gymnastics. Because it's literally your life.
It is.
In summer, you're like, great, you're not in school anymore. Let's do morning and night practice. I mean, it was just like it consumes literally your entire life, which is awesome. But also, you know, I never went to a high school football game. I didn't do. So these things that you typically gymnastics becomes your life. So that's what I did. Once I quit, I tried pole vaulting.
Retired.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Retired. Said that.
You just said it.
How did I miss that?
Once I retired,
I tried pole vaulting because they were like, oh, you're a gymnast. You got to pole vault. Was terrible at that. It also didn't help that the history teacher and the Spanish teacher really had no idea about pole vaulting.
Oh, those are the coaches.
Yes, those were the coaches.
Oh, that's like a very intense sport to like be like, I'm going to make it up. Like, I feel like some other things, like, soccer is my background, but I feel like anyone could be like, okay, I'm just going to coach it. No one's going to like, you have like a pole. You got to like propel your body over this thing. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, daring. So that was interesting. Did triple jump because that was just felt like leaping and it was fun.
Right.
That's, I can run and leap.
Dude,
yeah.
Triple jump is one of, I just had a pot of Instagram live I do with my guy Anthony. Triple jump is one of the most athletic movements ever. You need such strength. You need to be dynamic, explosive. Your stability. You jump, you run, you jump, and you land on the same leg, which is awkward. And then you want to see someone mess themselves up.
Yeah, do the triple jump. Yeah, I know.
That's a good try.
Yeah. But it was, I did dance a little bit afterwards as well, just for fun. And, you know, I should have probably gone into cheerleading because that's like the natural path after gymnastics. And I just did not connect to cheerleaders. Go.
Did you get any injuries throughout this? And I saw someone on live being like, you know, her daughter does it, but, you know, suffering injuries. Did you have that?
I was fortunate to not get too many injuries. Like, I had sprained my ankle.
Okay.
Taped that up every day after that.
She used rock tape, by the way. I'm just kidding.
Definitely didn't use rock tape to tape.
Wasn't around then, but.
I had wrist guards because my wrists are still kind of messed up. And I fractured my thumb. I dislocated my thumb. But luckily, and I pulled my hip flexor. So still, like, riding bikes for, like, long periods of time kind of irritates me. But other than that, like, really not bad at all compared to a lot of my friends. I have a friend who had 5 knee surgeries. I have multiple friends who've thrown out their backs multiple times from young ages. Damn. So
you see it. Like, so I mean, did that bring you any of these injuries? And again, like, that's pretty cool that it wasn't so bad.
At
the same time, you know, there's a funny meme out there and it's like, the human body is capable of growing a human in, you know, in 9 weeks. And it's like, how long will it take me to recover from this ankle sprain? You'll never be the same. Right? Like, so these injuries, like, the body remembers. And so it's like, it's a little thing, but, like, the body remembers, you know, that's like our pain science side of things, our PT background that we share here. But tying into that, so did any of those injuries make, why PT? What, how did that happen then?
You know, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to go into, but I knew I loved anatomy. I loved biology in school. So I knew that I wanted to go into kinesiology. I loved the body. And I started teaching gymnastics while I was in high school.
Awesome.
And then I kind of, this one Pilates instructor started teaching at my gym that I was teaching at. And so I started going to her classes just independently. And I learned so much from her. And then she was like, you know, you're doing so well. I really had a lot of one-on-one because when she was still building up her clientele, I would come religiously. And I just kind of learned from her.
Gotcha.
And so from there, she just had me start to sub for her during the summer when she needed someone to, like, kind of come in and started subbing. And then from there, she just kind of gave me my own courses. So I don't recommend this. I recommend getting certified. Yeah. Let me just...
Some fast track.
Recommend that first. But, you know, it was just something that it was fun. It was something that I related to. And I was learning so much from her all the time. And so it was just a constant learning process for me. And I just continued to love the body. But I continued to have questions like, well, why am I taping this girl's ankle for gymnastics? Why am I modifying this movement for Pilates? Why? And so the more that I asked why, I knew that I was doing kinesiology in undergrad, but I knew that I wanted more. So I didn't want to be a gymnastics coach my whole life. I didn't want to be a Pilates instructor my whole life. And I continued to have those questions that drove in my why. And I actually worked at a physical therapy clinic as well, and I started working there, and I loved it, but I also knew I didn't want to work in that kind of environment. It was like a constant turnover. As an aide, it was tons of fun, but as a physical therapist, it's like patient on a table, 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 and it was just like one after another. So I knew, and I documented as an aide.
God dang.
Like, we did a lot that we weren't supposed to do.
We see that, though. Let's call a spade a spade.
All
we
the
see
time.
That.
Yeah.
We see that. That's actually incredible that you had the foresight, because I actually talk to people now, and some of those shadowing experiences make them not want to go into PT.
Oh, 100%.
I taught a course this past weekend, and there was a student. He's a chiropractic student, and he said, originally I wanted to go into PT, but I did an observation there, and I was like, nah, this ain't for me. You know, and you can't realize that maybe there's more out there besides this. Like, you go in and then you're like, holy shit, it's a mill, and that's it. So that's incredible. You had the foresight to be like, hey, maybe I can do something else. So keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Yeah, so I knew that that particular place wasn't the place I was going to be, especially because the owner, he kind of would like call PTs out on the spot, and like it just was inappropriate and not like it had to be his way or no way, which I didn't appreciate either. And so I kind of started to build an Instagram while I was in school.
Oh, so this is how it started.
But I didn't intend to. So my name on social media back
in the
day. You
were in high school?
No, I was in
college. Okay.
Right. I was in grad school. I was in grad school.
My timeline got messed up. Got it. Check. During PT school.
During PT school.
So wait. Let's back this timeline up. When did you observe someone?
In undergrad.
Okay. And then you still decided, despite that experience, I want to go into this.
Yes.
So then you applied to grad school.
Yes.
To PT school. Where'd you go?
Loma Linda University.
Amazing. Dr. J. Pop also went there. So then you went to grad school. You entered PT school. And now the story continues. Go ahead. I was lost.
Yeah, sorry. So entered PT school. My name on social media was Jen_ES_care. Because that's how you say my name. And it was for all my friends.
That's when I met. That's how she's still in my phone. So I know how to pronounce the name.
So. Yeah. And so
I have 7 R's now. I have to add it to the end of it, though. So it's Esker.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of them. You gotta do that tongue mobility.
So back to that. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, but it's a fun story.
So I started posting my workout videos that I was doing outside, which was like my pull-ups and leg lifts and stuff that I did on the bars outside, because I like to like go run or hike or play. And then if I saw bars, I would go like work out. It was just like fun for me. That was kind of what I continued to do. I wanted to make sure that my body can still do those types of gymnastics type activities because it just makes me feel good. And so I was hashtagging and tagging some of the calisthenic pages back in the day.
Was there a goal? Like, so you started social media, Instagram, but why?
Because my friends were on it.
Cool. So you were just like, I want to share what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Cool. There was never like, I'm going to create an empire.
No.
Do you hear that, people out there also, but out there in podcast world? You know, you don't have to go into this with this vision of in 5 years, I want to have this bajillion followers and this whole big thing. You can go into it with that for sure, but you can also just use social media for fun. You could also just use it because you want to share your stuff. So
yeah.
I didn't know that. All right. So you were putting it out there because your friends were on it. So
right. And then one of the calisthenic pages ended up reaching out to me and he was like, hey, we all meet up in Venice. Come play. Come hang.
Huh.
And I was like,
literally.
Okay.
Come hang.
Yeah. So funny.
That's funny. I'm laughing.
So I went out and I met up with the calisthenic guys and they were all incredible, like the nicest humans. I remember sitting on the beam and one at a time they like passed me and shook my hand, hi, and introduced themselves. And it was like the coolest experience.
Like at the place where I met you?
No, so that was in Santa Monica.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
right. Okay.
That's the original Muscle Beach. But we went in Venice. There's like a wooden beam and rings.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, bars. By the basketball.
Yeah, thing. By yeah, the yeah. basketball stuff. And so that's where they used to meet up all the time. And so I would go and I met up with all of them. And they were just like the nicest humans ever. And which was really funny. You see these like huge ass jack guys and like they're doing all this crazy stuff on the bars, but they ended up being like the sweetest.
That's awesome.
They were all super supportive. Like it was there to like help each other out, help each other learn things, help each other grow. And it was just a cool environment. And because I started becoming a part of that space, he started posting me.
Okay.
And so from there, it was all of a sudden, like, I started gaining all these followers naturally. And I was like, so I only do handstands now? Don't post my personal family photos anymore?
Yeah.
So it became, you know, just naturally started to grow. And then he asked me to compete for calisthenics, all in grad school.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, let me challenge myself to do this.
This is a very different grad school story.
Right?
Most people
exactly.
have.
This was my escape. I would go every weekend down to the beach. It was like an hour and a half away from where I lived.
Worth it.
But
I was gonna say, you went to Loma Linda, so
yeah.
I'm like, how the heck?
No, it was far from LA. But like it was my reason to like come down and play and hang And I had a little park by my house where I would go run and do all like my calisthenic training and stuff. And I started just posting my journey through calisthenics, through learning these new moves and stuff. And while I was doing that, it just kind of continued to grow and people were getting inspired. People wanted to see how it was doing and what, you know, what I was really sharing and how I was doing that. And so
this is tremendous. So I'm going to take a time out here and actually answer this question here to Keto Zero. There's more to people than just what you see on social media and maybe that they are good at handstands and good at other things. Like, they have a background story. So yeah, she is telling a story. Right now, this is a mic that we have and we're doing a podcast. And so we're just taking the audio from that. But there's more to someone than what you may see on social media. So the goal with this is, just for right now, because there's a whole, is a story, is to give the listeners on the podcast some background about Jen who may not know her. Maybe some of you guys out there don't know her or know that side of her. Did you know she went to Loma Linda? Did you know that she was a PT student that used to drive an hour and a half every weekend to go and do pursue her happiness? That not only is that cool that she did that, but that speaks to her as a human. Like, this chick is dedicated, and that's one of the first things that I learned. She's a pusher. So if you ever seen that movie, Mean Girls, and the teacher is like, I'm a pusher. It's actually Jen's face that I see every time now. This chick, I met her, like she just said, in Santa Monica, because she reached out to me on social media, 3+ years ago, and was like, I was coming out here for vacation before I moved here, and she was just like, hey, come meet up with me. And I was like, it's kind of far. It was like 5 minutes from where I was going to be. And I was like, oh, that's kind of far. But she pushed. And I met her. And then we did some like crow. And I was like on these parallel bars that I was going to kill myself. But long story short, she is a type of person that brings passion, pushes you outside of your comfort zone. And like she was saying about the calisthenics group, that she shares this same mentality of abundance. And I grow, you grow. I want to help you grow. You know, you can help me grow. This just this amazing spirit that she brings to things. So the point of this is for you guys to see that, but also so that the people listening to this podcast in the future get to hear that, because there's so much more than to a person than what you see on their Instagram. And she says she shares a ton with you guys, a ton for free. And so we know she has this generous spirit, but I was like, you know what? I want to know a little bit more about your background. And we're going to talk about social media and things like that, and how she got to where she is today. So if you're not interested, that's cool. You can sign off. But this is the point of doing this. Also, hi, Venus. You're awesome. And the question that came up about, can you heal a meniscal tear in the red zone? The question is, does it really matter, really? How's your functionality? Not great blood supply to these areas, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have pain. Your best bet is to get into a licensed provider, learn how to work around things, not through things. We work on pain, things like that, and oftentimes you don't need surgery. Surgery is not the devil. I'm not anti-surgery. I'm just very pro-not-surgery. So it's not the worst thing, but to, you know, kind of give you a 10,000-foot view, quick answer to that. May not heal, but the question is, how much is that going to actually impact your overall functionality? I have meniscal tear right now going on. I had a labral tear, and I live my life just fine. Yes. So back to the story, Jen, because this is amazing. Just a little segue there, a little side note there. Grad school, traveling hour and a half, started Instagram because your friends were on it also, started competing. What does that mean? Like, I follow some calisthenic things. I don't try it, but I follow them.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
That means, so my friends over at Progressive Calisthenics, Ken, he started a company called World Calisthenic Organization, WCO. So for anyone who knows WCO, represent. And they would go to any of the Fit Expos and put on competitions.
Cool. And you like win stuff?
Yeah. It's a little subjective.
You meet people.
You meet a lot of people. I met the coolest people. And that's just kind of how my Instagram started to grow. I just started to meet amazing people, continued to share my journey, got involved with yogis, started hosting yoga challenges. And it just became like a really...
Do you do yoga? So that's an amazing answer. That's an amazing answer, because so many people, and this ties into what I was just saying, so many people put... people into a box. Yes. They see something and they're like, okay, then that's the box they fit in. People all the time think that I'm like, just talk to CrossFitters because I film, I'm not a very good CrossFitter. Just because I film my videos in the CrossFit box, it's because I'm already there. It's easier. So for a long time, I know that Jen was associated with like yoga. Like you're the yogi.
I'm the yogi. Jen, the yogi.
Jen doesn't even really do yoga. So what are your thoughts on that, Jen?
You know, I kind of let go of the mentality of forcing people to understand who I am. And if you want to put me in a box, you want to put me into this person that you think I need to fit into, that's fine. If that helps you
understand
and to come and follow my page and learn something, because really all I'm trying to do is help and teach and grow. And so if you can grab something out of my page, no matter who you think I am or what you think I am, I don't care. So I kind of let go of the mentality of like, I'm not a yogi. Like, where does it say on my profile I'm a yogi? And I just respectfully reply when people ask like, what yoga class should I take? And I'm like, I don't know. Go try some out.
I don't know.
Or like, what pose should I do? And I'm like, nah, I'm not a yoga instructor. I have taught anatomy for a yoga teacher training. But again, anatomy, not poses, not anything that has to do with yoga except teaching anatomy. So I've done that and I love it and I respect it and I do it. And I have a lot of friends who teach classes, so I'll go to their classes and support a lot of times. But it's definitely not like my go-to. I would not consider myself a yogi. I do Pilates more than I do yoga. And I taught Pilates for 6 years.
And the next box that you got put into is like, you're the handstand person. Like, I knew that people would like try to bring you on to stuff and it's like, here's the handstand girl. What are your same kind of thoughts about that? Or, you know, there's more to you than that. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I remember, I guess I shouldn't say, but I did go on a podcast and they were only asking me how to do handstands. And
hi, Ryan. Yes. So you know what? I'm gonna interject there because I feel like Jen's like, I don't want to say anything else about it. But the point being, there's so much more to people than that initial thing that you may see.
Yeah.
And if they are doing something cool that you like, talk to them about it and be like, hey, how'd you get into this? What are your thoughts on it? But you know, just understand, take a step back that there's so much more. And for this young lady sitting next to me, so much more. So let's switch the conversation a little bit into social media, because you started kind of talking about that. You started posting, a lot about, you know, calisthenics and things like that. Was your goal to continue to grow this thing, or it just started happening?
So it just started happening. And because people were responding to it, loving what I was sharing, I naturally started doing it every day. It wasn't my job. I wasn't making money from it. It wasn't something that I needed to do. But because people were liking the content that I was putting out, it motivated me to want to post more. I started meeting amazing individuals, being invited to events where I can meet like-minded people who love to move their body. And so it just continued to motivate me to want to post and want to help. But then I graduated PT school and I was
so
like,
you were doing this during PT school.
Yeah.
All of this still. This is still that same time frame. Dang. Okay.
But then I graduated school and I was like, this is a hobby. I need to become a good PT. I don't really care about Instagram anymore as much. And I'm going to put this aside and just focus on, you know, learning as much as I can and becoming the best PT. And that's when I went up to Toronto and was meeting with Vinny Rehab. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know, people think that you're a yogi already. Start speaking into yogis and share a video that educates them on how they can open up a pose more based on what you know about anatomy and the body. And I said, okay, I'll try it. I don't know how it would respond. But as soon as I did that, people started to come to my page more. People started to really engage. That video took off way more than any cool handstand video. And so I started to realize people want to learn. People want education. And if you're listening to this, I don't have a certificate. I have a license of doctor of physical therapy. So both of us do. And then other certificates, but license, I think. Yeah.
I have the
that a little
I
better.
Have the receipt to show you that. Sure, it's very expensive.
Very expensive for license. That piece of paper.
Yeah, but I have it.
Yes.
Yeah, so we started sharing your knowledge. And I remember having a conversation with you about this when I first met you.
Yes.
Because the thing that I'm preaching, you know, I don't say preaching against right now, but I did it too. It was like, Jen reached out and I was just like, what am I going to have in common with this girl? I don't know how to go upside down. I was just starting to learn how to go upside down. I'm still not very good at it, but just trying to get over my fear of it. And that was a lot of the stuff that was on the posts, on the pages there. And her persistence is honestly why I met up, because I was like, she can want to like do some crazy shit and I'm going to get an injury because I'm old. Like, but... You know, and then seeing, I've watched the evolution of this where it's gone from, not that it wasn't educational in the beginning, but, you know, this kind of entertainment lens.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm sharing because it's fun. And like, I love that. You started out with this being fun. Social media should be fun, right? So for people out there that are thinking about starting a social media account, right? Because as it relates to the podcast I'm doing right now, that's kind of one of the themes here is social media, entering it, kind of suggestions from someone that's really, you know, mastered it and has really conquered it. You can start, it should be fun. If you're doing something and it stops being fun, it becomes a job, and it's like, how good of the quality of material are you going to put out there? Because people can feel you when you write stuff. It resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you did it, and you switched this more educational style, and things took off from there.
Yeah.
And so is that the goal right now? I mean, it seems like it. Yeah. That's what's the how do you curate these posts?
Yeah. So I mean, I just started listening. Again, it's all about listening to your audience. It's like, what is working? What is not working? Why is it working? And sometimes you may not know. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, something takes off, something you think and you work really hard for doesn't take off.
Yo, man. It drives me crazy.
I know. You can't predict it. You can't predict it. But what you can do, and this is where I tell people, like, don't use the excuse that the algorithm is not showing your stuff, because we can all use that excuse. We can all say it's the algorithm and blame out and blame other people and not take responsibility for what we're creating. And that's what I want people to understand and respect. And I'm still working on this constantly. Just because I have a big following doesn't mean that I can stop and just relax and just chill. Constantly learning from you guys, wanting feedback and adjusting things based on what I know, you know, you guys want to see or general population wants to see, because most of my audience isn't even going to see my stuff.
Yeah.
So what can I do to continue to curate information that's going to get out to the masses? And that's what it's really about. It's about creating content that the popular page is going to pick up, that anyone is going to be like, that looks interesting, let me click on it. The reason that I started doing the anatomy photo next to the video is because it catches the eye.
Call a spade a spade. It's easy to see. Like, people are going to click on it, and then they're going to read what you're trying to say to them.
I mean, why do you think booty, people who only post booty stuff, it takes off and they hit a million, they get a million followers.
You said booty, and I was like, Buddha? What did she say?
Booty.
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 She's talking about the booty. I have to try that. So.
But it hits, because Instagram, social media, it's a billboard. What is going to catch your eye and make it attainable for someone to want to grab on, for someone to want to understand it, for someone to want to see it, especially for clinicians out there? If you're talking clinician talk and you're talking to other clinicians only, and you're not talking to a general population, you're not dropping down the knowledge so that people can understand it, a third grader, fourth grader could understand it, then you're not really talking to people. And what are you actually trying to create there? So I really urge you guys, you know, you want to be talking to anyone. You want to be, if you're actually trying to help people, you want to make sure that anyone can understand what you're trying to say. So if you're communicating just to other clinicians, okay, maybe you want to market to other clinicians and you want to teach other clinicians. That's fine. Know that that's your lane then, which is what you do.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have to know where your lane is. If you're creating videos because you want them to be cool and catchy and catch on, talk to the general population.
So important. And one of the things I see, and I'm going to speak to physical therapists because that's really my lane there. You see so much arguing amongst PTs, and so much of the post is curated to be like, I'm smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That other PT that you're marketing to isn't paying your bills. That's not your demographic.
Right.
If you are trying to speak to the public, that is where your lens needs to be, which is why I brought Jen on. If you're trying to use social media to market for your business, not that you have to use it.
Right.
You can have a successful business without doing it, but it is an awesome platform. And someone had an awesome comment that said, social media equals service media. That was pretty cool. If you're trying to market to... is that me? I thought I turned it off. If you're trying to market to the public, then you have to make it relevant to them. Make it digestible. Appeal to your people. Really good comments coming in. Someone else saying, yeah, it's tough when you do an Instagram post. It's a minute. And maybe they can't really feel you. But then you do lives. You do podcasts. And they can really get to know you and your passion and what you stand for. And you answered someone else's question in there, which was, you know, how do you try to get patients to understand that how PT works isn't how social media works. And that's going to be you as the clinician if you're putting content out there, that you need to say that within your caption. And then also when they come in, having them understand that. And it's not really a social media problem so much, it's a society problem. That's why we have drug addiction, things like that, or opioid addictions, because we do want a quick fix and all these diet fads and things like that. So it does become a lot of the educational side of things. And if you are going to try to have a voice on social media and you do get a big voice, you have a bit of a responsibility to put out good stuff and say that. I talk to Jen about this all the time because she's doing that and being like, hey, here's something. But she always puts in her captions, you know, go see someone, get assessed. You can't just think that this thing is going to fix you. And that's huge. Another thing she said about, you know, interaction and making it social. So any tips, tricks, hacks? I hate that word. But in terms of interacting with other accounts, collaborating, things like that.
Highly recommended, especially like I feel so fortunate to be able to say that I am friends with a lot of people who are in my same exact space, and we actually help each other and collaborate. I could reach out to Move You. I could reach out to Dr. Jacob Harden and be like, hey, would you mind sharing my free challenge? They share it. And the fact is, like, I have that relationship with them because we all support each other and there is enough room for everyone. And don't shy away from that. Like, you're only going to be able to grow more if you reach out and you support other people and you collaborate with other people. And I honestly don't even care how big of a following you have. It depends on what you're really impacting and how you're doing that. Like, next week I'm going on a live with someone who has, like, I think she only has, like, 400 followers. But I love you. Hi, Vinny. Talked about you.
Good.
But, you know, I really respect what she does as a clinician. I actually went in to see her. She's a pelvic floor specialist. Okay. Love her. And I think she provides a lot of knowledge that doesn't get shared enough on social media. So I'm going to bring her on and do a live. So it's not even about, you know, don't reach out to me because, you know, oh, she has a big following. I'm not at her level. No, reach out, like comment, connect, DM, and reach out to these people that you highly respect and just start building a relationship. After she offered me to come in and work with her for free. And so I did that. We built a relationship. Now I want to bring her on. And that wasn't even her intention. Her intention wasn't, what can I get out of Jen? But it was, you know, how can I give her value, and we'll just see what happens out of this relationship. And that's what connecting, that's what building a friendship. It's all about, like, what are you gonna give to the other person? Just give, just collaborate, just like, just appreciate what they're doing. And it's so simple. It's as simple as that, is commenting and being like, that's awesome, good take on that. DMing and saying, I really respect what you're doing. I heard from Mike Reinold the other day. He DM'd me and said, you know, you're putting out amazing stuff. We're going to repost one of your things. Awesome. I respect him. Growing up as a PT.
It's been a long time. I walked uphill in the snow both ways growing up,
you know,
as a PT.
Being a new PT when I got out of school, he was someone I totally highly respected. So getting a DM, I was like, oh,
yeah.
You know, but just collaborate, reach out. These people that you think are at a level that you can't attain to. I meet up with PTs or chiros or anyone all the time. I meet up for lunch. I meet up for coffee.
She's a pusher, I told you. See that?
And then I see what other people are doing, but you're a pusher too.
They don't even want to meet up. She's like, you have to meet me. And they're like, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Only out of love. But it really is like, collaborate, reach out. Connect with other people. Don't be like, I'm in this space, they're in my same space, so I can't connect with them. You can. No matter what space you're in, you can. Yes. If that's how you want to grow, and or even if you want to meet new people, you want to meet friends who are in your area, reach out and talk with them.
Jen is the queen of this.
It's so important.
She embodies this. And one of the reasons I really want to bring on the show is like social media. It's called social for a reason. You got to reach out, comment, share things, you know, DM, slide into those DMs just like that. It makes a difference in the connections that you can find and create. And no one is above it. No one is. And if they don't write back, well, they didn't write back. Like, right. That's the worst thing that can happen there. I love what you said, too. What are you going to give them? Mm-hmm. It's not a take mentality. No. It's like, what can I do for you? How can I help you? That service. That's a Loma Linda thing. There has to be there. That kind of service mentality there. Like, and that's what it really becomes about.
Yeah. And don't have any expectations as to what you're going to get out of this relationship, because people are going to see right through that. And it's super inauthentic. I don't want to be around it. I've been around people who I can tell are, you know, just like, what can I get out of you? I'm probably not going to see you again after that. So really authentically sharing because you want to share, collaborating because you understand, like, hey, you're out there trying to do your thing. I get it. I've been there. And the other thing about growing social media, it's really so collaborative. We've talked about that. That's obviously how I've grown, is someone else posting my stuff and collaborating with me. And then I started hosting challenges with a lot of yogis. So again, growing based on collaboration with other people was one of the hugest things for me. Next, consistency. Nothing in life. You don't get mobile. You don't get strong. You don't.
She's tying it all together.
Nothing happens unless we're consistent.
Yes.
And when you get that consistent relationship, I'm building trust. Guys, I'm posting every day so that you can trust that I'm going to show up for you. Like, it is something that I'm building because I want to give to you. I want you to feel like you can trust me. I want you to feel like this is coming out of a true, unauthentic space from me. And that you know what to expect. You know, if I'm going to post every day, like, you know that you can trust that I'm showing up. Exactly.
It's so many lessons there. So many lessons there. One, hi, Jill.
And Jessica.
All these people. There's 100 of them. I only know one of them, so that's why I said it. She's not saying
Robin.
Jen's not saying it because there's literally 15,000 of you that are saying hello, but she's in her heart saying hello to every one of you. It's just she can't say each one at a time. Consistency, collaboration, not competition. And be authentic, right? Very, very simple things. As it relates to kind of the more nuanced things, are there like things that you use to generate your hashtags? Do you post at a certain time? How about those two things?
All right, so I've loosely played around with when I post, and for me personally, 8:30 p.m. PST.
Everybody's about to post now. It's gonna break.
That's okay, because the algorithm is everywhere anyways. But honestly, like, I'm have a lot of New Yorkers following me, and 8:30 here is really late over there, so I don't know how that works out, but it works out somehow. So that's just what I found works for me. Some people it's 5 to 6 p.m. over Pacific time, you know, so it really is just
kind of play around with it.
You could play around with it, see what's working consistently, and then do that.
Do what works.
And it's going to fluctuate. Sometimes I post in the morning. Sometimes I posted at 3 p.m. on a Friday, and that's done amazing. I posted at 9 p.m. on a Saturday, and that's done amazing. So you never know at the same time, so kind of play with it, and don't be afraid to play with it, because the algorithm, again, is not going to show it in a perfect timeline. It's going to come up like a day later, hours later, whatever. So play around and don't, like, be attached. Let go of the expectation of what might happen and just allow it to be, and know that the more consistent you are, the more that you show up, the more it's going to continue to grow. And adjust your stuff. So if someone is scrolling through, what is going to make them stop and look at yours? Because it is a billboard. So how are you going to capture an audience so when they're scrolling through, they don't just scroll past? Or if it shows up in a popular page, they're going to be like, what's that? Let me click on it. So what are you doing to actually capture that? It has to be catchy. It has to have something as the cover photo that makes you want to click on it. Also, I would suggest not doing the small horizontal videos because, again,
I don't know what that means.
So when you film something and it's horizontal landscape, mm-hmm. and you post it that way, it's smaller.
I don't think I even noticed that. Huh.
Okay, but you can do the square,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
Or you can expand it so that it's full horizontal. I don't like that, and I don't suggest it because it's smaller. So if I'm scrolling through, I'm probably going to scroll past something I can't see very well.
As opposed to you just do it in square.
Square or vertical, okay. and make it as long as possible.
I didn't even notice that it showed up differently.
So you can expand it so that it shows up bigger. And again, what is when I'm scrolling through, wow. what's going to catch my eye? If something is longer and I'm having to scroll and I'm like, wait, maybe I want to check that out.
Mm. Size matters is what
size
Jen is
does
saying.
Matter for Instagram. Mm.
Got it. I'm going to write that down here in my notebook. I don't think I noticed that. I knew that you could change the. That wasn't always like that. That would use like that became a thing.
That became a thing later.
Yeah, it wasn't always a thing. But you're saying that if you don't use it in square or in what is this portrait mode?
Yeah,
it will make it smaller on.
It's going to make it smaller
when you scroll through.
Anything that you're going to make it harder for people to have to see, have to look for, and have to read, done.
Yeah, people don't want to do that. They got time.
No, I don't have time. I don't want to read it. I don't. I'm looking at it from my point of view, like. Am yeah. I going to want to see this?
It's
Am
true.
I going to want to look at this? Probably not. So why would I post it out and expect it to do good?
So in addition to size mattering, the main thing we're looking at is consistency. And consistency yeah. meaning that you're at least posting every day.
Every day, at right? least once a day.
It doesn't necessarily, she said play around with the times a little bit. My suggestion is when you're starting, put it at a time that you can actually do it. So
yes.
this way you're going to stick to doing it. And then from there, you can play around with that.
Yeah.
Make it eye-catchy. Mm-hmm. And you got to have this marketing mentality. Like, I think that some people, and I know females and kind of PTs, I'm going to speak for them, because that's me, is you may shy away from that. Because you're like, I don't really want to sell myself. Or like, oh, she's putting that up and that's just like marketing. Hell yeah, it's marketing. You just said it. It's a billboard so that people will read your content. And then you can, whatever message, whatever caption you want to give them, and you're being authentic. You're not selling them something in it, but you have to have their attention before you can help them out.
Yeah.
So I think that's
100%.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Videos versus just pictures, like talking in videos. I talk a lot, clearly. Mm-hmm. Videos, music, things like that. What are your thoughts?
So music, I believe now, if you at least acknowledge the artist.
It's okay, because there's a hassle with that.
Yeah, I just don't do that. I use the music from Splice, which is kind of like weird and edgy sometimes.
I don't even know. I never have the sound on my phone, so I never even hear. I didn't even know you had music in your
yeah.
videos.
Yeah, and that's another thing. People are usually scrolling through, not listening. So talking, hit or miss sometimes. Yeah. Play around with it.
If you do talk, you have to have a call to action in the caption that says sound on.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to scroll right through it too.
Or they have to know that that's consistently
yeah,
how you're showing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. It was random.
So like Move You, they talk all the time. People know that though.
Yeah.
Dr. Jacob Harden now has yeah. the captions at the bottom. You can do that. It takes a lot of work.
Time. It's a long time to do it. So.
Yep. A lot of editing. So.
Pick your platform.
Yeah. Pick what you want to do. You know, how much time are you going to spend yeah. on it? When I was first starting social media, I would spend probably at least an hour. So it's like
yeah.
filming.
It's a commitment.
Editing. And then writing a long ass caption because mm-hmm. I write pretty long
yeah.
captions.
It's a commitment.
Sometimes it took 2 hours. And I had a full-time job. I was at a clinic when I, you know, or in PT school when I was doing Instagram and social media. So, you know, it's committing to something because you know you're providing value.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not doing it to try to sell you to anything. I'm not doing it because I need you to buy my program. I'm doing it because I authentically want to provide value. And I'm listening to what you guys are wanting, and I'm posting. And still, majority of you are not going to see it.
Yeah.
And when a video does well, it's probably because it hit explore page
yeah.
and other people saw it
exactly.
who don't even aren't even on my social media. That's just the reality of what it is.
Hashtags? Yay, nay, helpful.
To be honest, I don't use a lot of hashtags. I use my own now.
Mm-hmm, because you have your here, and so you can have that.
But even when I was starting out, I didn't really ever find hashtags to be helpful for me. I would do them. And
gotcha.
Then I wouldn't do them, and my post never, like, it didn't matter.
Gotcha.
which is interesting. So you know what you can do too is, I love that she said she's using her own hashtags. So you can use it as a way to create a library, because mm-hmm. there's no way to really index your posts. So if you create your own hashtag, Teddy does it. Strength Coach Therapy does a really good job of that. If you are, you know, a provider and you do videos about shoulders, videos about knees, videos about the back, then you create your own hashtag, and his is like Teddy Talks Backs, and mine is like Maestro Fry Your Back, Maestro Fry Your Knee. And this way, one, when people ask you a question, because they're going to DM you because it's social, then you can say, oh, okay, check out this hashtag, and now all the videos that you've posted associated with that particular body part or movement now have their own category. It's a nice way. I know we have, you know, Insta stories and highlights and things like that, but this way your actual post can be categorized. So that's cool. So for you, the hashtag thing was a hit or miss. It wasn't really like a big thing.
Yeah. But a lot of people, and you can ask people to follow a hashtag, and I've seen that work really well as well, where like one of my friends, he does a Tip Tuesday. And so if you want to see his Tip Tuesday, follow the hashtag. So in case you don't see his video pop up that day, you can always go back to the hashtag and see what videos he's been doing.
I like that.
So you can always have people follow a hashtag.
I like that. I want to actually plug, because you're not going to do it. So you're putting out a product. You have a product.
I have two.
Shit. What's the first one?
The Mobility Method.
What's the second one?
The Optimal Body.
Didn't know about that one.
Mm.
Need hashtag, then maybe I would know. So talk about it, Jen.
Yeah, so I created the Mobility Method because several reasons. One, I found it is the easiest thing to get people back in tune with their body, and it's a foundational layer. And especially in Western modern culture, it's the number one thing we're probably missing in our lives. So because we sit in chairs, because we sit on comfortable toilets and couches and all these other things, and we now have desks, we were just mm-hmm. talking about this, that sit to stand, awesome, but also we're not getting into our full range of motion. And then we go and we take a class and, oh no, all of a sudden I'm hurt. Because I didn't go back to my foundational layer of where is my mobility actually starting from. And so it's just a way to be able to get people back in tune with their bodies. And I didn't create a program that I didn't believe in. So this program I call it like your toolbox for life, because it literally is a one-time price for lifetime access of being able to get back into your body. So I didn't create a 12-step plan to mobility. I didn't create, you know, I'm not going to hold your hand through it. I'm going to give you everything you could need for mobility and give you a self-screening assessment so you can find where the restrictions are for your own self and decide what you need for your own body. Because the thing is, like, and what I teach, what I preach, what I believe is that we are so effing unique.
Yes.
And we need to know that, and we need to actually be in tune with that. So you will have different restrictions than someone else. You might have the exact same diagnosis, the exact same injury, and yet need a completely different treatment plan. And so understanding that your body is different and finding and tuning into yourself to find your own restrictions and what is not working well in your own body, and then having the tools to be able to navigate into that is what I created. And it's also a way of like, hey, do one stretch in the morning, couple as you warm up, do a couple as you cool down, and all of a sudden you have this 10-minute mobility program that you didn't have to like spend 10 to 20 minutes in one portion of the day. You can spread it out, but it's about the daily practice. It's about daily what you're giving back to your body in order to, consistency. Brushing your teeth so that you don't get cavities, moving into your body so that you can help prevent some of these injuries and pains and things before they happen.
Yes, so many knowledge bombs there. Big one being assess, don't guess. Everyone is different. So she's done a tremendous job. She's giving you a toolbox instead of a false promise, right? Because that's what it is when these other things like fix your back fast, if this is what's wrong with you, right? Which maybe isn't. And like she said, a diagnosis is just a name. It doesn't say why it hurt, doesn't say when you hurt, it doesn't say if it's going to get better. That's essentially what people, they like a name because it makes you feel like, oh, I can get better because someone else had this. Right? So somebody know what's going on. But the reality is we have to assess. And then because we are hugely unique, we go on whatever specific route it is to help us out. And that's what she's done. That's why this product I don't want to call it product, feels like I'm selling, but this thing that she's created, this program, thank you, that was a word, that she's, thanks for your help, Jen.
Yeah, you're
this program that she's created is such a gift because it's going to give you a skill set. It's going to give you a toolbox. And this way you can help yourself.
Yes. Right? Help yourself.
How can people find this?
It is in my link in my profile. So if you just...
The people on the podcast, Jen.
Click the link. Oh, sorry. I'm.
She forgot.
I forgot. There's too many things happening. So
Jen and technology. Side note, had her set up the video for the Instagram Live. She broke the microphone off. She's like, I don't know what this is. Technology. So if they want to find and or read more about your mobility method,
yes.
And they're not on Instagram right now, how yes. can they do that?
DocGenFit.com.
Okay.
/mobility.
Awesome. DocGenFit.com/mobility. I will put it in the show notes. I'll link to it. But DocGenFit mobility.
Yes. And then I have the optimal body. So when you don't want to have to think, you don't want to have to assess, you don't want to have to do the work for your own body because I get it. We're tired. There's a lot going on in life. All the things. I created the optimal body. So it gives you mobility flows for different parts of the body. So 4 different ones, upper, lower, spine, and full body. They're quick. You can do them like as many times as you want to create like a whole like flow, or you just do it once as a warm up. So I give you that every month. So there's 4 different mobility flows. There's 4 different core stability workouts. So it really just teaches you how to kind of, what is the core? How can you activate that with other things in your body? Because the core is not just the abs.
What?
So,
I'm leaving.
So it goes from level 1 of kind of like an intro of what the core is to level 4 every single month. And then also I have functional HIIT workouts in there. Functional meaning it's just going to go through the whole body. It's going to give you modifications and progressions for every part. So every month you get supplied with 4 new ones for every single aspect. And it's not taking away. It's just adding to your like library of workouts. So,
library, skill set. Toolbox.
Yeah.
She's giving you resources. That's what you
resources.
Want.
Resources.
Because there's never a single answer.
No.
And if, you know, what's the quote? When you learn a technique, you know a single technique. When you learn a concept, you know 1,000 techniques.
100%.
All right. So, and where can they find that?
So that is docgenfit.com/theoptimalbody.
Docgenfit.com. /theoptimalbody. It doesn't matter how short or long it is because I'm going to put it in the show notes for you guys anyway
you
and
go.
Help you out, right? Work smarter, not harder. So this is going to cut us off soon. I'm looking at the time, but I want to talk about one more thing and we can continue the podcast anyway, but I want to talk about one more thing so the folks out there can hear this. Your boyfriend, what's his name?
Lewis House.
Right? He's a big deal. He's a cool guy, big deal, big man. Very, I don't know how he fits in his apartment. He's a really, really big man, right? And I know that I think some people out there may see you and just be like, oh, things are easy or easier because she has Lewis and Lewis is probably doing all this stuff for her. And I can vouch for the fact that that's not the case. I've asked Jen plenty of questions. And that's one of the things I respect the most about her is that any question you ask, she knows the answer because she's done it. She's walked through it. She's worked through it. She's built this program. Yeah, she's asked for help, absolutely. But every single thing she has done herself and put in the work. She's honestly one of the hardest. There's a reason that her numbers are where they are. And it's not luck and it's not chance and it's not because of someone else just doing it for her. This chick has put in the work in every single aspect, creating these online programs. There's 2 of them, by the way, my bad, right? Creating 2 of them, growing the social media platform. She has a few other things, you know, coming down the pipeline there. And I don't know if you want to speak on it, maybe you feel weird about speaking on it, but when people think, hey, Lewis is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Not true. Do I ask him like advice in terms of like, where do you think I should head into? 100%. Like I want feedback. So I ask friends, I ask him, I ask whoever for feedback all the time on opinions and what they think, you know, can help. And he's definitely, he 100% he helps me. So I don't want people to think that he doesn't. He does help me, but he doesn't do anything for me. So he actually has a whole team of people that do a lot of things for him. And some things he'll be like, oh, you should move into this. And I'll be like, great, how do I do that? And he'll be like, oh, I don't know. I have a whole team that does it for me, which is awesome. And that's like goals, that's a goal, right? That's to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do anything for me. Like, yes, he provides support. He's one of my biggest supporters, of course. And I ask him questions for feedback, just like I would for her or anyone else, you know, one of my other friends. But I actually had Lori Harder sit down with me for 4 hours and kind of set up how I would launch and what that would look like when I was about to release my program. So it wasn't even Lewis. Yeah. He helped me again, helped.
Yes.
But Lori Harder actually sat down with me for 4 hours. And Lori, again, someone who is up there, I'm not at her level. And she sat down with me and gave me massive value. So
incredible.
Reach out, ask, help, because it is there and people want to help you. And also, you have to then take what they say and put in the work yourself. Like, nothing is going to happen based on what other people tell you. And that's why it's like, I can share all the information out there with you. I can tell you everything, but there's only a very small portion who are actually going to take it and implement it.
Amen. You can put everything out there for 100% everything. For free. And it doesn't matter because one person, you know, actually carries it through. Actually, for those of you on the podcast right now, if you reference and go back to, and I'll link to it, Maestro on the Mic episode number 17, it was inspired by a talk that I had with Jen. And it was basically like, if you ask someone for advice and they're in a position that you want to be in, listen to it, take it, and go and do it. Yeah. Right? It's tremendously valuable there. Reach out to people, ask, and then you got to go put in the work.
Yeah.
Right? You got to then go put in the work. So many lessons. I wanted to recap a little bit, and then I think that's most of the questions I had. But the big take-homes today were, one, be genuine. Mm-hmm. Don't try to sell shit to people. Be genuine. Start off posting when you like, what you like. Two, be relevant to your audience. One, figure out who your audience is, and then post according to that. Right? Post, and that's not trying to prove other people wrong. Your goal is to market to, and it's okay to use that word, market. It's okay to market to people, right? You want to help people, they have to know you. They have to be able to see your stuff. So market to your audience. And don't be afraid to market. Be consistent. It doesn't have to be at the same time every day, but at least start off by posting every day. And that ties into posting what you want and what you enjoy, rather. Mm-hmm. And this way you will start doing it every day. And then you can play around with those algorithms a little bit in that time. Hashtags, hit or miss, but it is cool to create your own kind of personal brand one, so that this way people can search and see the rest of your videos and the rest of your content. Tying in again to that consistency, you know, understand the difference between a video where I'm going to be speaking, a video where it's going to have music, or a simple, you know, whatever kind of post style you have, understand how that serves as a billboard and whether it might get scrolled past, or if you, like, people know that I talk in my videos, so I think they turn it on and they see that. If you're jumping around a lot, realize that may make things a little bit more difficult. Anything else that I missed? And make it digestible. When your caption, like, recognize, realize, understand your audience, and make it so that it relates to them, it appeals to them, so that they can understand what the heck you're saying. I really believe in that phrase. If you can't explain it to a 5-year-old, then you don't know it.
Yeah.
Yes, there are complex topics, but you should be able to really parse that out. And that's one of the great things about social media, in my opinion. It's really forced me to be like, do I know this? Like, I don't know if I want to post that just yet, because people may come back with me with questions, and I want to make sure that I can answer that.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice teaching tool for not only for that person, but for you. Anything else about kind of social media that I think those are like and collaborate.
Yeah.
Right? Be social and collaborate.
I do want to talk into one thing real quick.
Talk. You have the mic.
So when it comes to marketing, a lot of people don't know. I mean, I used to say all the time, like, business over my head. I don't know that. And it's because I'm not going in with the intention to market. I never have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally going in with the intention that I'm connecting.
I like that.
So if you are not connected to what you're providing, people are going to feel that. And I've felt that. Like, I've had a launch that did amazing. One, I was being pushed really hard by my boyfriend. So it's funny that you call me a pusher. He was pushing me. He's like, good. Another live, another this, another that. I'm like, another one.
Another one.
And it was scary. And it was like, people are going to hate me because I'm like getting myself out there so much. But it only connected me with people more. Because the moment that I step on and I talk about what I'm actually providing, I believe in it.
Yes, and they can sense it.
And yes, and I love it. And so the more that I answer questions because it's genuine, it's something I believe in, it's something I want to give people, it comes off really organic. It's not something that I have to force. It's a connection.
And
my launch did amazing because I connected. So it wasn't only just about marketing, but it was connecting. And then the other thing is that
I think that's what successful marketing really is connection.
It's just all connection.
It's got this like sleazy vibe of that word marketing. You kind of think like car salesman, but like when it's done well, that's what it is. It's because that thing, you connected with that person, you connected to that thing.
Yes.
And its essence and what it, I think it originally was and should be, is that's so great that you parse that out and unpack that. It's about connection. Connect with those people.
Everyone wants connection in life, period. Whether you're walking down the street and you smile at someone or you're trying to sell something. You're not going to sell unless you're connecting to the thing that you're selling and the people that are wanting it. And I've felt that, like, I confused the crap out of people on one of my launches. And I was like, well, you can get this, but you can also get this. And it was like, I didn't connect it. And I felt that. And I felt the disconnection. People were confused. Mm-hmm. People didn't understand what I was really trying to get at. And that night, I completely switched it over. And the results showed after that. So when I felt the disconnection, the results were there. They weren't there. They were, like, very limited and lacking. And then when I switched it over and I felt that connection again, and I just felt it, like I felt talking into it, I felt people understanding it, I felt people getting it, I was like, okay, I feel so much better, and the results started to show. So it really is, how are you connecting to what you're giving, to your message, and then to people? And I had people that were buying because they were like, listen, you've responded to every single one of my DMs.
Respond, people.
I'm going
Someone
to
DMs
like,
you.
Yeah. And it's hard. Believe me, people, I have almost 500,000. Yeah. I have 99 plus DMs and I just cleaned that out the other day.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's hard. Get
it's
help if
it.
You need
exactly.
help.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
But connect. People want connection, and if you want to be successful in what you're trying to put out there, allow people to fill you.
I love it. Connect. I mean, that's it. Like, people write and people ask, and everyone wants a hack, and they think that, you know, Instagram, I can see it as a business, but it's social media. That word social, it's at the end of the day, it's at its heart. It's about connection, and how can you connect to these people? Can you make them feel something? Can you make them feel you?
Yeah.
What are you there for? Do you feel you? And can you put that out there? That's awesome, Jen.
And that's why I don't think that you should buy followers, because that's not connecting with anyone. Those are bots. That's fake. It's going to show up, and you're not actually going to get the results that you want.
I'm like, what's the goal with that? Like,
seriously.
Like, I don't really. It's just, what does this number mean? Like, what does that mean? Okay, you bought 10,000 followers, so now what? I don't really understand why you would. What does that mean?
It's some people are using it to try to build credibility, right? So trying to get more numbers.
But then the flip side is that you see the interaction on the page, so it's like you get more numbers in terms of like, yeah, my ultimate following is this, but then every post I do has zero comments.
Exactly. So I honestly think it's dumb. I've never done it. I've had people who thought I did because I had one video hit 1 million views and I grew 40,000 that week. Organically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Organically.
40,000.
It was insane. It's the most I've ever grown.
It's
but
more than
I had people really were like, you know, telling me that people who like knew me asking if I bought followers. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. That's not the goal here.
It's so interesting that people even look at that and they care. And you're like,
yeah, they really do though.
Why are you all up in my shit, man? Like,
they really do.
Wow.
And so the only thing I would suggest, if you are going to pay, and if you want to pay for something, pay for ads. Because that's a way to get in front of people's face, to have them see you, and then give them some incentive so they want to go check out your profile. They want to go click and see who you are. I've seen that be very successful with people, and they've grown a lot based on doing that. The other thing you can do is reach out to big pages that are in your space and say, hey, like, could we either collaborate back and forth, or how much do you cost to promote my post? So if you're going to pay, those are the ways that I suggest paying. I personally haven't done it because I haven't just felt the need to do that. But if that is how you want to get your face out there more and kind of, because the algorithm, again, it is going to be a little shitty.
Yeah.
So if that's one way that you want to do it, that's the way I suggest, but don't buy fake people. Dude,
so many things. I'm sitting here and the wheels aren't even really turning. It's just like I'm just basking in her awesomeness right now at this point. And it's like, you know, it's very easy on social media. There's a barrier. And it's very easy to think that you know someone. It's very easy to put someone in a box. It's very easy to be like, I don't agree with their perspective. They're stupid. I'm never talking to them. And I'm going to really encourage you to reach out. Not reach out to argue with people, but to actually connect and start to learn what this person is about. That was really the big thing I wanted with this episode. You know, so this is part of the two-part series, and I got interviewed, and now I'm interviewing Jen, so, you know, you can see kind of like a baby step, and you can see, you know, what it takes to get to like that big leap. But my goal was also to for people out there to get to know you. And that's what my goal is with all these podcasts, all these episodes, I should say, is for people listening to understand that, one, happiness is for everyone. The journey is going to look different, but happiness is attainable, achievable by everyone. You know, you can make that happiness. And I wanted them to see, hear from you, because you're living this, you've done it, Jen. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that you're done, but you have created this incredible life, and I say created because you have built this thing. And have you had help? Absolutely, because you are smart. You work smarter, not harder. You know you cannot do everything on your own. But I want people to hear this story and get some background and understand that this is where you came from, this is where you're at right now, and you're a real person. You have this incredible following, yet almost 500,000, and I think sometimes people get so you seem like this fake entity. It's like Beyonce. You're like, okay, it's just like there's Doc Jen Fit. Like I didn't, you know. And you're a real person, and you have a real story, and your story is so similar to so many people out there. Maybe, you know, she's maybe a few steps ahead of you, but just showing you like, hey, she followed something that made her happy. And she was genuine about it, and her goal was to serve and to help and to connect. And look where that can give you. And at the end of the day, too, she put in the work. It's not enough to just listen to people. It's not enough to just want something. You got to go out there and take action. And I have a badass female sitting next to me right now who did that. And I want you guys to hear it. Like, I hope that you take the information from this episode in terms of, you know, the didactics of how to use Instagram, things like that, these suggestions. But they're not a guarantee of your success.
No.
By any means. You have to put in the work and put in the work and then put in some more work and put in some more work.
Yep.
There's no like, okay, Jen said do this, and then I read this one thing, and I'm going to, you know, it's not a guarantee of things. We're just kind of giving you some guidance, and then you have to go and put in the work. But the bigger thing I want you to take from this is Doc Jen Fit. Oh, sorry. Jen, what's your last name?
Esker.
No, say it your way.
Esker.
See, that's who we have here. There's a person behind the handstands. There's a person behind all the inversion, all that other cool stuff. And I wanted you guys to hear that. Jen, I'm going to wrap us up. Is there anything else that you want to share with the folks out there?
I know I told a lot of my story. Like, thinking back, I'm like, oh, shoot, I kind of talked a long time.
That's what we want.
But I hope that people are able to take out of kind of like the what you took out of it, I think is super awesome that it is coming from a genuine place. It's coming from an abundant mindset. I connected with people who had that sense of abundance, which is why I connected so well with the calisthenic community. They weren't there that's to compete story. With each other. They were there to support each other. And that's where I put myself in every situation with my friends, with the acro community, with just everyone that I'm around. I'm making sure that I'm putting myself around people who are open to abundance. And that just means we're open to all share the same game and continue in this life.
She speaks the truth. She's a real deal, ladies and gentlemen. She shares everything. She's sharing her morning with me. She shared her morning with me, you know, a few weeks ago, and I put an episode after that. She drove down and spent the whole morning. She didn't eat. She almost died. She was doing a cleanse and then almost died. And I was nervous she wasn't going to make it home. But she's always giving of herself. And I really wanted you guys to take, if nothing else, like, cool, social media is cool, but if nothing else, I want you to get to know this human here and relate to that, right? Relate to that, hear her story, and let that story inspire you, because we're in this room, to greatness. Right? It is achievable, attainable
100%.
By anyone. If the folks out there want to contact you, if they want to follow you, what's the 411?
Doc Jen Fit. best place on Instagram. It's where I'm going to post all my stuff. If you're not on Instagram, I do share it to Facebook. So Doc Jen Fit on Facebook. And I have been saying this for a long time, but I'm going to continue to put it out there with the intention that I'm getting on YouTube. So
I like that. Speak that into existence. And I want you guys to hold her to that.
Yes, please do.
Because she needs to do that.
I like podcasting. I get to do that.
YouTube is going to be your space. You're visual and people need to see it.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
It's coming. It'll come when it's right. When she decides this is time, I'm like, well, you know, but push her a little bit. She needs to put pushers in her life. See what it feels like. Push her. So Doc Jen Fit's going to be the easiest way. At Doc Jen Fit. I will link everything in the show notes. Anything else, Jen?
I think we talked about it all.
I think we did. This was a dope episode. We're going to have you on again. This is,
yes.
She'll be probably by then taking over the world, but she's definitely going to have a YouTube channel by then. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to grow YouTube, right? That's going to be
that'd be great.
Our next one. You heard where to follow her. I know that you guys can listen to anything, take your time to you know, put your time in with anything. And you chose to listen to this today. And I am eternally grateful that you spent, you know, the past hour and 15 minutes plus with us. Jen, I am also eternally grateful that you took the time, not just today, but 3 years ago being a pusher, so that I got to connect with you and it's built this, and that you shared your time with me time and time again. I'm texting you nonsense. I'm like, how do you do this? How do you pin this? I don't know how to do anything, Jen. She shared her brain with me time and time and time again, and she's just so giving. So thank you, Jen, for everything coming on the show. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you guys out there like this episode, I'm going to ask that you give and share it with one person that you think it could help. Not just for the social media tips, because those are cool, but just this whole concept of connection. Connect with somebody. Share this episode with one single person.
Five people.
I take that back with five single people. She's a pusher. See that? She's a pusher. I love it. Give, pay it forward, connect, five people. Until next time, Doc Jen Fit and Maestro out.